Hello, friends. It's Monday morning. We're in the bunker, IO Radio Studios. The whole band is back together, and Ipswich Town have won a game. Woo-hoo! Yeah, baby. How are we feeling?
So good.
Yeah, man. High fives all round. The whole band is here. Ipswich Town at the weekend. They didn't just win. They humped Burton 4-1. Last week, it was all doom and gloom. I even uttered the words on Thursday, you can't make Town favourite to win any game. Hutchie Hogan knew. He said they're going to win this game. And they did. They did in style, my friends. It's the Kings of Anglia podcast. I'm your host, Mark Heath. As I've already said, the whole damn band is here. But I need to introduce them, of course. So to my left, not wearing his usual plum jumper on a Monday, which has thrown me right off. Indeed, going now with a pink?
Salmon.
Anybody got any salmon?
Lovely.
Little throwback there for you. It's Hutch Hogan.
Hello.
Friend, are you excited?
Very excited.
You're not. You don't get excited, do you?
No, I don't. I'm on the level.
Have you ever been excited in your life about anything?
Not yet.
No?
Good. Which is great, because I've still got that to come.
Yeah. Marriage, firstborn.
No.
Not exciting.
No. Nope.
You're very level, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Frustratingly level for someone like me, who has big peaks and troughs.
Yeah, that's where I am.
Good. Excellent.
Going straight up on the straight and narrow.
I am excited to have you here on this beautiful Monday morning.
And I am excited to be here.
You're not, though.
I am.
Okay. And of course, his partner in crime, the second part of the dynamic duo, the man who sports his coat in the studio at all times with the collar up, because he's cool like that.
Looks like Harry Hill.
Oh, ouch. That was unnecessary. Stu's shooting daggers now at Hutch Hogan. I think the relationship is over. It is, of course, the Dr. Stuart Watson.
You know what I'm saying? Collar up, glasses, and that's it. Not quite the look I was going for.
I was giving you the big build-up then, and then Hutchie's just literally stuck the knife right in.
I think Harry Hill looks really nice.
Noted for being a sex symbol, Harry Hill.
Exactly.
Yeah. Stewie, how are you?
I'm very good.
Are you excited?
I'm so super excited. I'm injecting it into my voice. Can you hear it?
Project, my friend, project. Yeah. Before we started this, I said to the boys, I'm going to bring a lot of energy to this intro, so please come along with me. Don't do the usual miserable kind of, it's all a bit silly, we're a bit above this.
Don't get too high with the highs, don't get too low with the lows.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, we go from Hello Darkness, My Old Friend, to Celebration Tunes.
Calling the gang, baby.
Nothing is won in February.
No, but there was a game won at the weekend, and I like to get excited about these things.
You can't keep crushing your Royal Navy vessel into icebergs. It keeps coming back.
That vessel's not floating anymore, my friend. That's gone into the
old
dockyard.
What are you in now, like a little dinghy?
Yeah.
just bobbing along.
It's called HMS Make the Playoffs.
It's catchy.
Yeah. And of course, the fourth member of our team, the fourth wheel, the man without which we cannot actually do this podcast because no one else knows how to work the wheels of steel, the ones of twos.
I can show you.
I'm not interested. I don't do that. I'm the talent. It is, of course, producer Ross.
You're the talent.
Yeah, baby.
Green room.
Yeah.
Roscoe, how are you?
Very good.
You weren't at the game this weekend.
No.
You were
at
a different game.
I'm gutted now.
Especially given what happened at your game.
Yeah.
We'll get onto that obviously later on in the show. But of course, Ipswich Town Ladies' FA Cup run came to an end in thudding, shuddering style at Man City.
Yeah. There's more to the game than the 10 goals conceded, but we'll get into that later on.
It was a lucky 10-0, to be fair.
Yeah. There's some good goals in there. But I'm just saying this again, that my predictions keep going right. Well, no, I didn't say 4-1, I predicted a 2-1 win, a win anyway.
Where?
In the Burton game.
Where?
On our game day. No, what's it called?
The boot room.
He did,
to be fair.
Roscoe was on the boot room. I missed this.
I just shouted.
We threw it back behind the camera.
Ah,
so
sick.
You broke
the third wall.
Yep. You did, yeah.
Amazing.
Cameraman spoke.
We're just constantly breaking rules in those videos. They say you can't film videos in showers.
Yeah. Well, you can. Certain sort of videos, yeah.
But we do. Time and time again.
Mavericks. All of you. Congratulations, Ross.
I'm a gambler now.
You keep the run going. When are you going to start handing out lottery tips?
12, that's the number.
You need more than one number.
That's just one number, my friend.
How many numbers do you need?
Are you aware of how the lottery works?
I just know it's, you know, your favourite numbers and hopefully they come out right.
Okay, good.
I've never done the lottery.
Have to be your favourite ones.
Yeah, you can pick any numbers, but the thing is you have to pick six of them.
69.
that's not in there.
Oh. But yeah, anyway.
Okay, so maybe not.
69 and 12.
Maybe not with the Roscoe lottery tips. No. Boys, enough nonsense. Let's break it down to the deathly serious business of football. Last week, Ipswich Town were in the doldrums. We recorded a podcast on Thursday, Hutchie. We tried to bring energy to it. It was difficult because things were not going well. We even had people on social media blaming us for calling Lambert the honey badger and therefore building him up as some kind of arrogant, get-away-with-everything sort of figure. Some people might suggest that those people need to get a life. Obviously, I would rise above that, and I would never say that on a show, on a platform like this. But anyway, boys, everything was right again on Saturday because Ipswich Town, they went behind. Now, I was elsewhere on Saturday. As I walked into where I was going, I had a tweet flash up which said, basically, taking the piss, Town had 1-0 down. I thought, oh God, here we go. Next time I looked, 4-1. The victory was won. It could have been 8, it could have been 9, it could have been 12. Ipswich Town smashed it on Saturday. Let's talk about it now.
Go on then.
Ipswich Town smashed it on Saturday. Let's talk about it now.
When the first goal went in, there was this really weird, eerie kind of silence. The first Burton goal, this is, that kind of flops flung around Portman Road, and that didn't feel very good, did it, Stu? That was... It just felt like, oh no, oh no, here we go. And I think you have to give them a fair amount of credit for the character that they showed to, after a few rocky minutes after that, to play their way through it. And come back and win it quite comprehensively in the end, and be the better side.
Not just a fair amount of credit, a huge amount of credit, because of the nature of Will Keane misses a good chance, good chance for Will Keane, 5th minute, straight up the other end, 1-0 down, collective groan. It was edgy, nervy, understandably, off the run of games that they'd had going into this. Not only that, do they then go and miss 2-3 really good chances at 1-0 down, and you're thinking, here we go again. You know, playing decent stuff, not taking their chances, conceded one at the other end, were looking quite vulnerable to the counter-attack as well, particularly Gwion Edwards was a little bit all at sea at right wing-back. So it's huge, huge character to kind of keep playing their way through that and to get the breakthrough. I think it was massive that they scored the equaliser when they did, because that came... Was that straight after the judge crossbar one, or was
not
that...
Not long after. If you watch the official highlights that have been put up, it's all kind of jumbled up in a funny order. Like, that, it makes you think that Judge hit the bar, I think, after Jackson's goal. It was a bit strange. But that, like you said, that missing those chances, I think Jackson went around the goalkeeper as well, one on the side netting, missing those.
That was the one, sorry, yeah. So Judge hits the bar, then Jackson goes around the goalkeeper and puts it over. And I think had they not scored within a minute of that happening, things could have festered. But thankfully, you know, the goal came quite quickly, and they didn't have to dwell on that. And then after that, they just took control, didn't they?
Yeah. You see people talking about it at the weekend about, yeah, but Burton weren't very good, Accrington weren't very good. But that doesn't bother me. Like, you have to, if a team turns up, you have to beat them. Like, it doesn't matter how good they are. And Ipswich beat them. It could have been 6. It could have been 8. The fact it wasn't, that also doesn't matter to me. They thoroughly beat them in the end, and came back and showed the strength really well.
Burton were without a few defenders, and their goalkeeper goes off injured, obviously, right on half time. And I think there were about three centre backs going into it. So there's a small caveat there. But I'm with you. I've seen quite a few people going, well, it's only Burton. They were no good. They're mid-table. They've been in the Championship not that long ago with Ipswich. Their run going into this was pretty good. They've scored loads of goals away from home. I think only Peterborough and Rotherham, perhaps. There's only two teams that have scored as many goals away from home as them. They're not a bad team. And I think it's Ipswich made them look like a bad team. You can't have it both ways. You can't say when they lose, it's all about Ipswich's deficiencies. Ipswich were rubbish at Rotherham. Yes, they weren't good, but sometimes we overlook the fact that Rotherham and the opposition were good as well. So when they win, you know, we can't just focus on the opposition's deficiencies. Ipswich deserved that. They played well.
Yep.
Tremendous. And obviously the Honey Badger, you spoke to him after the game. That's the Honey Badger. You spoke to him after the game. Was he growling with delight? Was he purring? Obviously he said it was the best performance of his time. Referred to it showing that the rest of he knew the team now were winners. So he was in a good mood after the game, was he?
Yeah.
What counts for a good mood anyway?
Yeah, I mean, you know, these managers, they tend to try not to fluctuate emotionally too much. I said to him, you know, what are your emotions after that? And he said, same as always. But for the reasons we've just outlined, said it's the best performance of his time there, not just because of the goals and the scoreline, but the circumstances it came in. So he said to him that that's proven to him that those players are able to handle the pressure, and it's answered a few questions, which I think is fair to say.
Yeah, I think you also saw a few people kind of pointing out that these goals won't win any kind of beauty contest. But for me, they're all really good goals. There was all a piece of really good build-up play in each one, possibly ignoring Thomas Hodie's long punt downfield, but you'd love to see that, don't you? But there was a good piece of build-up play in all of them. The finishes weren't crisp.
Ultimately, the way the ball ends up in the net is scruffy. I mean, the judge one, I think, the first judge one, I think does it take a slight nick off the defender as the guy's sliding in and it loops over the goalkeeper?
I think he was quite pleased that ended up in the back of the net, because it might not have done had it only come off him.
Yeah, and then the one that squirms under the goalkeeper, I think Alan said he slipped, the goalkeeper slipped, it just about crossed the line.
But each of those had some really good build-up play, and like Will Keane involved in both of those. Keane's ball down the line to Jackson for the cross for the first one. Keane's played a really good ball that's opened up the Burton defence again for Jackson for the second judge goal, and that's good. It doesn't matter how the ball ends up in the back of the net. No. They're making chances, and they've finished them off this time, which
just looked more incisive with that front three of Judge, Jackson and
Jackson
and Keane. We shouldn't overlook Keane's contribution. He might not have got in on the goals or the assists, but I thought his link-up play was vital to it all as well. And they just looked a lot more incisive. They looked like they had more cutting edge, and we'd been saying in previous ones that they knock the ball about very nicely in their own third, but it doesn't really ever sort of step up through the gears when it gets to the final third, and that happened on Saturday. Yeah. It looked like they could go boom, 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 3-4 passes, goal, and that's what happened.
I think we'll keep. We've spoken about strikers and who isn't having chances. Keane had some chances, he missed them, but the build-up play is what he really brings to the party. But I think his contribution is able to be used by the team so much more when you've got two other players as part of the front three playing well. He's been able to link up with Jackson in the past and, you know, do stuff with him on the field. But to have Judge really on it as well, to have three of them where Keane isn't kind of having to do the work of two men, it's really important, because he can drop deep and Judge can fill in other pockets, and that's what was happening really, really well for me at the weekend. Just the three of them seemed to be on the same page.
Yeah, more footballers in that team, wasn't there? Garbutt, left wing back, Nolan in midfield. They're just more technical footballers in there, probably.
Yeah, even Garbutt didn't look fit at all to me, but I think he still contributed really well. I think you've got to give him credit as well, that he clearly wasn't completely over this thigh strain, but he got up and down really well. And he just used the ball sensibly, just not trying to do anything that wasn't beyond him, and it worked really well. And his set piece delivery does offer that little bit more as well. So, yeah, lots to take credit for.
For saying that neither of you are excited, you've just talked very animatedly, quite a lot, intensely at each other for quite a few minutes, and it's a beautiful thing to see. So obviously you are enthused, you're enlivened by the performance from Saturday. After all. You talked there about the front three, fantastic by the sound of it. Where does that leave Mr. Norwood, though, who again was riding the pine, as they say in America, at the weekend, getting splinters in the old posterior? Is he the old man out now?
They still need James Norwood, I think. I don't think you can just sort of call him the old man out after one game where it's clicked. So I was maybe a little bit surprised that he didn't get some minutes off the bench, but the game was won against a team where Ipswich were making chances. But then again, Lambert's given Teddy Bishop and Freddie Sears those minutes, men who really need minutes to kind of get up to fitness. So I can kind of understand that. But there'll still be a time when they need James Norwood. There will be, but I think he might be on the bench next weekend as well. I'm sure he will be, in fact.
Okay. Any other notes from the game? We've talked there about the front three. Anyone else stand out for you, Stewie? Downs, obviously.
Flynn Downs, which is just...
standard.
Just, yeah. It doesn't even need saying now, does it? It's just his... The thing about Flynn is the way he's learning to use his body now. He's so strong, the way he can be in a crowded area and shield the ball and drive his way out of danger. He's just been immense this season. The tactical switch needs probably a mention as well. At half-time, we talked about how Edwards was getting caught out down the right, and there was no Danasian on the bench, but Lambert sort of shuffled what he had on the pitch and switched more to a 4-4-2, and Earl, who started in sort of left side of a back three, moved to left back, and that pushed Garbutt further forward. And that just sort of stemmed the counter-attack threat a little bit, and crucially, Alan Judge, who kind of played as a 10 in the first half, he went wide right, and earlier in the season we were saying how he just didn't have the positional discipline to play that role, and he would leave the fullback exposed and he would just go sort of charging off wherever he wanted still. But I thought he played that a lot better. He stuck out to the right, and his crossing, he looked like a proper wide man. You know, in first half he looked like a 10, second half he looked like a wide man. The crosses, you know, the one for Jackson's header was immense, and there was several more like that as well.
And some three, he looked to be playing on instinct to me at the weekend, which I don't think, I think he was searching too much for things in the first half of the season, trying too hard, trying to make things happen, kind of moving the legs too fast to try and drive around the field. But particularly the cross for Jackson's goal was superb, but the ball that I really liked was from maybe on the halfway line, just on instinct, a through ball for Jackson for the one-on-one that he missed sort of later on in the second half. That ball through was superb and was pure instinct, which is what maybe Alan Judge has been missing from his game this season. So that's a really, really good sign that he maybe is coming good at the right time of season, which is kind of what he said might happen back in... I remember speaking to him after a game back in maybe November time, where things were getting a little bit better for him, but still not where he'd want to be. He kind of said, well, I'd rather be growing into the season than starting well and fading it, because the business end is March, April, May. So, who knows?
And that's where we are. Any other notes? I want to get back... We're going to do a little bit of a March Big Question, and I want to come back to the game, because I enjoy talking about it in Town of One. 4-1, and there's lots to talk about. Maybe some more kind of off-the-wall stuff to talk about as well, but are there any kind of more general game things to discuss before we delve into a little bit of nonsense? Oh, Ross has made
no,
a decision.
Was that not the...
Good, Ross is on the board.
Mark's Big Question.
Yeah, so at this point, I'd like to talk about Thomas Holy's kicking in depth.
I thought that was
that was slick, Ross. Nice to know you're paying attention.
I thought that was the cue.
No, listen. You're the producer. Listen to what we're talking about. That's the idea. Okay. Anyway, that's the theory. Obviously, it doesn't work in practice. Okay. Anyway, Mark's Big Question. This week, I'm going to take it upon myself to pick a number.
Pick a question.
A number. Pick a number one. Mark, the question is... What irrational fears do you have? This comes about because I was buying myself a coffee on Saturday, and you get those kind of flimsy little plastic cups, don't you, or paper cups, whatever they are, and you have to put the top on. And every time I do that, I'm worried that I'm just going to squash the cup and I'm just going to get coffee everywhere because they feel really flimsy. You've got to get those cups on, the tops on properly, haven't you? So I thought, this is an issue that blights my life. I can't get one of these without worrying about it. So I thought, I know, this is the question I'm going to ask the boys. I can't be the only idiot with stupid fears. So, boys, what are your irrational fears? I assume you're not worried about squashing coffee cups every time you have one.
I will be now.
Yeah.
No, I know what you're saying with that. And if you're getting your coffee from a not particularly recognised coffee outlet, you might question the integrity of their cup as well. Are they spending enough money on their cup, or are they cutting corners? And is it going to make me scald my hand? And I know what you're saying.
I've even gone to the lengths of looking up how to correctly apply the plastic lid. Apparently you have to find the seam on the cup. On the paper cup that makes it strong.
You had to look that up.
I didn't have to look it up. I did look it up because I'm nervous about it.
Okay. Just clip it on. Just spend a couple of seconds. Just feeling around the edge.
Maybe I'm just a ham-fisted moron. But
are you trying to do it too firmly?
I think I might, but I'm trying to just squeeze. No.
Just clip it on. Okay, that's all I'd say to you.
This therapy has helped me. But boys, what can I help you with your irrational fears?
I don't want to talk about bananas again. We talk about that a lot. Any irrational fears? I think banana fear is totally rational, to be honest, for the reasons previously stated.
Yeah.
Irrational fears.
Don't all talk at once. This is an excellent segment.
I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but cotton wool is more kind of a phobia-ish. I think I've spoken about this before on here.
Is that a fear of the texture of it?
Yeah.
Like you can't touch it?
Yeah.
I used to have that with the foam balls you used to play with as a kid, you know, the footballs. They would make me feel weird whenever I touched them. I'm the same with peaches.
Furry peaches.
Mm. The wife has been known to chase me around the house with a peach.
I may have a good one.
You may.
I may have a good one, depends. You may not know this about me, but I'm very bad with like knife and forks, really.
Are you?
I'm just really bad. I don't know why.
Do you mean?
Just doing it properly, you know.
Do you mean doing it properly?
I don't know.
Is that a fear?
Yeah, it is, because it was me and Sasha's anniversary last week, and we went to like almost a posh restaurant. It was Foxy and Newborn.
Nando's.
Yeah. Nando's. I had pheasant for the first time.
Oh, gaming.
Which is... interesting.
What made you pick the pheasant?
I looked and I went, yeah, go for that. How was it served? Some carrots.
Don't say on a plate. Yeah.
red cabbage.
Okay.
Some nice mash with some bacon bits in it.
And are we talking just the pheasant breast or what was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, breast. Yeah, very nice.
Roasted. Mm-hmm.
But I'm just really bad at just like posh places.
What do you mean? You just pick the knife up and just stick it in?
Yeah, I'm a little bit too laid back, and Sasha just looks at me and goes, no, Ross, because I'm just very clumsy. I'm just a very clumsy person, so I was just seeing loads of different people who look very important and posh.
They're not important, my friend.
No, but I feel like they're looking at me.
No, they're not. Let me tell you this straight away. No one gives a fuck what you're doing. Trust me.
I don't know.
Trust me, no one cares.
That's my irrational fear. It's just...
Next time you're in a restaurant, Just chill out, man. You're there to have
a good
time.
There's one person looking at me, though. That's why.
Who was looking at you?
Just this random old guy.
I think that's his problem.
Yeah. But I'm just... When I go to a nice restaurant, I can't be, handsy.
What do you mean?
You can't eat your pheasant with your hands.
To be fair, my starter was a skewer, so I had to use my hands for that. But I always feel like I'm on edge all the time.
My friend, I can relate to that. When we first started going to nice restaurants, I was probably around your age, and I felt very on edge as well. Because obviously you've got all the different levels of cutlery and stuff. You're not sure where to start.
Sir and stuff.
I remember once saying to the wife, "This is ridiculous. It's so pretentious."
Yeah.
And it is.
And now you absolutely love it.
And now I'm massively pretentious myself.
It was nice food, but I felt I was on edge most of the time.
But generally, this is what I say to everyone who is ever worried about anything they're doing. Literally, no one cares.
Yeah.
No one's looking at you. No one cares. So just get about your business, enjoy yourself.
I also dropped my fork because I had to get another one.
Oh dear.
I'm very clumsy.
The fox is nice though, isn't it?
It's very nice. It's a very nice fox.
It's very nice in the summer as well. You can sit outside. It's a nice little farmhouse vibe.
Jason Zazel was always there. He was there again.
Was he?
On the anniversary. It's like the third time I've been there, and he's been there all the three times I've been there. I was like, this is his hangout, I think.
Is he the one staring at you when
he's following you?
Yeah, probably, yeah. No.
That boy over there does not know how to use a knife and fork. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I've got another one.
Yeah.
Putting the wrong fuel into your car, even though you know you're not going to do it. It's always just one day when I'm not quite concentrating.
Are you a diesel man?
Now I am. So when you make the switch as well, there was that first little crossover period. Or when you get a pool car or a hire car or something like that, that's always a fear of mine.
What is it as well? Do you get this? Obviously, in my history of driving cars, I've always had unleaded petrol. Now I am a diesel man too. Is there something about diesel nozzles which lead them to often be covered in diesel? Have you found that?
No.
I don't know about the angle. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe it's the wrong garages I'm going to. But every time I use a diesel nozzle, generally, it's diesel spattered.
You're getting a bit of dribble.
I'm one of those ones that now has to put on that ridiculous little plastic glove. I'm getting to
you
it.
Don't.
I do.
No one puts those.
I do, my friend. I do. Because I've had situations where my hand has been reeking of diesel and I'm worried about...
setting yourself alight.
Sucking my fingers. No.
Sucking diesel.
Yeah, literally sucking diesel. Excellent.
Don't do that.
That's a good one. So, Hutchie, have you got any more to share before we move on? Get back to the football?
Windows.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're scared of windows?
Yeah.
Particularly with type of windows?
Falling out of them.
Okay.
Just in our house, we've got sash windows at the front, and whenever they're open, I always get nervous. I'm going to trip over the bed and tumble out.
And go
flying. I never have, as of yet. What else? Too many to mention.
Too many. Okay, good. I feel like this was a useful therapy session. I'm pleased I've shared with someone my fear of paper coffee cups. Roscoe, I feel like you've grown by sharing
so
that.
So if we go out for a meal, maybe look out for my
your ham-fistedness.
Yeah,
trust me, mate. I will not give two titties what you're doing with your knife and fork. My main concern is that you're enjoying your meal.
Yeah.
What did you have for dessert?
A sticky toffee pud, of course. Standard. I like that.
Solid. Sticky toffee pud.
Solid.
It's a winner.
You can't go wrong with that, really, can you?
No.
Solid choice.
It's got bigger as well since the last time we were there. It must have. The portion was just massive.
Okay.
I don't know if I should do this on air, but I got charged £20 less than actually the original bill.
Huh?
So the bill was like £65, I think. Get me. But we only got charged £46. Basically, the guy who was doing the bill, because we needed a rush to get a taxi, I got up, and on the screen, they have to put your order and stuff on there, but he was rushing about, and of course, we're waiting there, and basically, he just put £46 on the receipt in my hand. It was said £65, but basically, he just charged me £46, because it was just the previous order from the table on there.
Not celebrity discount?
No, just basically, yeah. He knew I was producer Ross, but I thought, oh, £20 saved, happy days.
Bonus.
So there you go.
There you go. Take the opportunities. Yeah. Boys, let's get back to football. Let's talk again a bit more about 4-1 at the weekend. I want to talk a little bit more about KJ, Caden Jackson, the man who I want to give a nickname to. But he's been tremendous this season. 11 goals now, 7 assists. Been involved in 40% of Ipswich Town's goals.
And they've won every single game that he's scored in.
Yeah. So, number one, can I call him Thriller? Excellent, Ross. You've made up for your complete cock-up with Mark's big question there.
You can call him whatever you want.
Yeah? Because he is exciting, isn't he? He's a thrilling sort of player, and obviously he's called Jackson.
He's called
what I'm doing?
Yeah, he's called Jackson.
See what I'm doing? Obviously there's... Anyway, I'm not going to get into that. But KJ is now Thriller, and he is a Thriller. Let me ask you another question. Is he... And Stuart will love this. Is he Town's MVP so far this season? That means most valuable player, Stu. It's an Americanism.
He's not been their best player. Flynn Downs has been their best player. But
unanimous.
If you're talking most valuable player, you could start to say it's 11 goals, 7 assists. As you say, I worked it out, and that was 40% of their goals that he's been directly involved in now. So that's quite a big impact, isn't it?
It's and a heavy contribution.
There are times that he's frustrating, and perhaps that's when Ipswich don't use him particularly well. You know, the Rotherham game, for example, they were just looking for... They'd obviously gone into that thinking pacing behind is our plan here today, but... When they don't do it particularly well, it's infuriating. When they're just aimless long balls over the top for him to chase, that's how you use him on Saturday. You know, when he's running those channels and on the last shoulder, especially in those windy conditions, he must have been an absolute nightmare to deal with.
Yeah, I wouldn't go giving him the MVP award, but there are plenty of awards you could give him. I'd probably give him the Comeback Player of the Year award. I'd give him the Surprise Package award, because genuinely, in the summer... He wasn't sure if he was going to be involved in it at all. Where his place was in the squad, he thought there was a chance he might have left. He said recently that genuinely at the start of the season, his target, I think it was when he was nearly at double figures, I asked him, like, was that your target, double figures at the start of the season? And he said, genuinely, my target was to make 10 starts. So to do what he's done, given the pre-season expectations he maybe even had of himself, is really impressive.
Hmm. Superb. Okay, so KJ is officially Thriller going forward. Some people obviously hate that because they forget that football is just a bit of fun. And talking of fun, Luke Wolfenden's hair was fun at the weekend, wasn't it? Gone full blonde.
He's got an M&M.
Yeah. What's is it? Just he just fancied a change. Is it just what's the deal? He had it done at Darren Ambrose's gaff.
That's what the rumor mill is saying.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you why, but I think he actually pulled it off quite well. I think
it looked good.
I think he looks quite good for it.
Oh, here we go. Ross is on fire now. He's just pulling out all the stops. This is M&M, for those of you who aren't old enough to remember. Because M&M's been around for a long time now. So, yeah, I liked it. I've got a suggestion as well. If Ipswich Town go up, I think we should go blonde.
No.
All of us. Obviously, Stu, you're left out. You can do your eyebrows.
We talked about this at the weekend, didn't we? Stu suggested that I should dye my eyebrows and only my eyebrows blonde.
Just blonde? Okay. But so you're saying you're not up for that?
No.
The jubilation of Ipswich Town getting promoted wouldn't be enough for you to look like a dick for a little bit?
No. I'm not dyeing my hair blonde.
I'll dye my beard blonde.
You're going to dye your beard blonde. I'll go blonde on top.
Okay.
Hutchie is misery
pubes.
And won't do anything.
Do his pubes.
And Stewie, we'll come out with something for you. Maybe
a wig. I'd look horrific.
We all would. I was once bleached blonde at the time of Eminem came out.
That doesn't shock me.
I was one of those.
At all.
You're a slit eyebrow man.
I was. I was a chav before chavs really existed back then.
A trendsetter.
Yeah. If you look back at some of those pictures now, you just want to slap yourself. It did not really suit me, and I had a skinhead at the time as well. So it was a bit silly. Anyway, so you're not going to go blonde.
I'd look horrific.
That's the idea.
I don't want to be blonde.
Okay, fair enough. Other notes from the game before we move on to the biggest bit of nonsense we do, obviously the strike. Alan Judge took off one of his boots and lobbed it at Paul Lambert the weekend. It wasn't a Fergie Beckham scenario. It was a bit of banter. For those who haven't seen it, what was that all about?
A bit odd at the time, wasn't it? Quite confusing. My first thought was, he's going to have a really wet sock for the rest of the game, and that's
that
going to be
first thought.
That's good. Yeah, because it was really wet. It's going to be really squelchy, and like you're running around in this soaking wet sock, which wouldn't have been great. But he said after the game, I asked him after the game what that was all about, and he's contracted to wear the new coloured Adidas boots, copper boots, mm-hmm. when they come out, and he'd been wearing them in training, and Lambert didn't like them. Lambert told them he was never to wear them again. But he's contracted to wear them.
Why didn't Lambert like them? Just the way they looked? Or
a bit of both. The way he's playing and the way they look. Lambert's quite big on boots, we think.
Yeah, he had this thing, didn't he, when we played in pre-season. And he'd still remembered what boots I'd worn about 4 months down the line.
He chucked it in as a little like quiet dig, didn't he? Like a few weeks ago.
What was wrong with them?
I don't know. They were fine.
They were the same
as ones
his.
That he wears, yeah.
I think he thought that Stu was comparing himself to Champions League winning former Dortmund midfielder.
Of course, he's played for massive clubs.
Paul Lambert.
That was the clip that we never got to air on the KOA live.
Oh, was
night.
That where that was from?
That was the clip. So Ross went and filmed obviously the Honey Badger clip, but he also got a couple of other clips which in the end the club didn't sanction for us to use. But
oh,
there was one in which they asked Paul
what
his thoughts were on Andy and I. And they was less than complimentary, and one of his strange digs was, Stuart, is he the guy that wore those Adidas World Cup boots in the summer? And
Matt Gill said, yes, gaffer.
Yeah, and that was it. But
yeah.
That's what Matt Gill does, isn't it? Say yes, gaffer, by the look of it.
I think he
does quite a lot, actually.
A bit more, yeah. I think he's a bit more of that.
Well saved.
Stuart Taylor seems to be the one that just sort of barks at the officials for most of the game, whereas Matt Gill seems to be more of the clipboard,
the earpiece man,
actually, on the sidelines.
Yeah. Matt, I apologise. I've done you a disservice.
Yeah.
But hopefully one day we'll get to play that clip, maybe even just on here, because it was good. And when they say Lambert was having a go at the boys, it was not criticising their journalistic skills. It was very much banter, and it was good.
It's just banter.
It's fun. It's fun. Bit of wrestling and all that sort of stuff.
But yeah, Judge won't be taking those boots off for a while.
And they're, what are they,
£179.99.
Where did the boot fall then? It just was
he
still
chucked it back onto the pitch.
Oh, okay.
And then he went, not into the crowd, that would have been, that
would be getting that back.
Studs in
I thought it was like a Tamuri Ketspire type breakdown. Do you remember when, going mental and booting the advertising board?
He's got a place in folklore, hasn't he? Him, because he wasn't obviously a legendary player, but as soon as you say that name, you immediately get that vision of him kicking the shit out of that advertising
board. He's ripped his boot off, isn't he?
Who?
He then took his boot did off, he? Didn't he, I think, after...
Did he carry on kicking with a bare
foot? Yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Until he just had a bloody stump left.
He's in management now.
Is he? Yeah. Whereabouts?
Greece and other such countries. He's a nomad, I think. He's
okay. Cool. It's a shame that we didn't have the team name there, if we could ask Roscoe to pronounce it.
We can quickly look it up. Yeah. Well, let's keep talking, I'll find out. Keep talking, say something.
Anything else light-hearted from the weekend? We were just talking, obviously, before the pod, that Mr. Sheeran was there as well, with his mates, Japanese rockers.
Well, they called OK
Rock.
OK Rock.
One OK Rock, I think.
Okay.
I would play their song, but they're terrible.
Yeah.
Japanese rock band who supported him on his Asian tour, apparently. They're quite a big deal. We just looked them up, didn't we? Like 10 million followers on Instagram, or 10 million views on YouTube for various songs and stuff.
And they'd gone mental in the gift shop as well, hadn't they?
They squeezed some cash out of the OK Rock, one OK Rock boys at the weekend.
Head to toe in town stuff. Now then.
I'm surprised they weren't wearing the Ed Sheeran.
The Divide shirt. Yeah. They weren't on brand.
Maybe Ed's kind of given them all away now.
Yeah. Okay. It's time for the strike. But first of all, as a segue into it, I want Roscoe to pronounce the name of the side that Tomori Ketsbaya. Is he still the manager or was the manager of?
He's the current manager of
a Greek team called...
This is a Cypriot team.
They're
a football, basketball, handball, futsal and volleyball club.
Yeah.
Stop stalling.
Yeah. Just get on with it.
Amfortas Famagusta.
That's pretty good, actually.
That's actually not bad.
Amfortas Famagusta.
That's not it, is it?
It's Anathorsis Famagusta.
Famagusta.
Apparently they've had to relocate because of Turkish invasion in 1974 or something. That says on there. No, look.
I believe you.
Yeah. Okay, Roscoe, you've done well there. Are you going to do as well now with the strike?
No.
No is the answer.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Strike! Brought to you by the greatest quiz show host on planet Earth, producer Ross!
Hi. Contestants. I want to give a shout out to Kieran Stanley, who kept Sandtown Flashback the whole journey to Manchester. I think he loves just me saying Town Flashback.
Yeah, I assume that didn't get irritating at all.
No.
Town Flashback! but yeah, then everyone else kept saying it as well.
Yeah.
Joshi and the manager and everybody else. But anywho, oh God, I'm so sorry for blowing up your eardrums, ladies and gentlemen. Blast from the Past.
I thought it was Town Flashback. Is it now called Blast from the Past?
I still have Town Flashback.
Okay.
But, Blast from the Past.
Sounds a bit samey.
But no, a different question. Blast from the Past is more about players who are...
Do the question.
Okay. Mickey Stockwell. Happy belated birthday to him.
Yeah.
He turned 55 last week. But how many goals did he score during his time at Town? Remember, he made 610 appearances for the club.
A very highly regarded kitchen fitter.
Yeah, you see his van all around the town.
He's doing
one
at the top of my road.
He didn't do your kitchen, did he?
No, he didn't. That's but he was doing one at the top of my road for the last couple of weeks. Yeah. So seen him a couple of times.
As you say, he's very highly regarded in that field.
Apparently, very good.
But how many goals did he score on the field for Ipswich Town? 610 games.
Yeah. Of course, one great goal against Wimbledon.
So he got at least one. Yeah. I always go first, so I'm going to invite someone else to go first, preferably Hutchie, because he probably knows the answer. And I can just go one or two either side.
No, I'm not going to do it.
You're not going to dye your hair blonde. Yourself. You're not going to go first. Don't what are you going to do?
Okay, 69.
So you scored 69 goals?
Nice.
69 goals in 610 games. I'm going to go probably quite a lot lower than that, which probably means I'm going to be wrong. I'm going to say 30.
40.
44.
Oh.
Well done, Stewie. Well, 1 point to you. Time flashback.
Yes.
Happy birthday to my boy Sergi Bulcher. He turned 62 today.
Good lad, Sergi.
What's the proper
Sir J. Baltacher, sort of Sir Guy Baltacher.
Serge Belcher.
We've also got a Boncho Quenchev now on Twitter as well, haven't we?
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Are we spelling Quenchev?
Usual way.
Yeah, how you say it.
Yeah.
But yeah, he left town in the summer of 1990 to join which Scottish club?
Scottish
club. St Johnston, Hearts, or St Mirren?
I think it was a saint, wasn't it? I think it might have been. I'm going to say St Johnston.
Okay.
I'll say St Mirren.
St Johnston.
St Johnston.
Yeah.
There we go. 1-0-2. Town beat Cardiff.
Very casual today, Steve.
Very casual. Still got his coat on. Thought he was going to whip it off for this section, but kept it on. I like it. Someone's had a picture. Town beat Cardiff 3-0 at Portland Road in 2012. But who scored a brace that day? Was it Lee Martin, Grant Leadbitter, or Jimmy Bollard?
Jimmy Bollard?
Yeah. Bollard.
Yeah.
Bollard.
Jimmy Bollard.
The Bollard.
Has anyone watched Jimmy Bollard do Soccer AM, by the way?
Oh, God.
Car crash TV.
So bad.
I quite like it.
Of course you do.
He brings energy.
Yeah, but he's not very good, is he?
Soccer AM is bad now.
Not a very compelling.
Yeah, the glory
individual.
Days of Soccer AM are gone, aren't they?
With yeah.
Still got good guests on there, though. Still
yeah,
really
they
good
do.
Somehow, I don't know why.
Lovejoy and Chamberlain are long gone.
It's dreadful TV. Yeah. It's awful TV.
Well, back to the point a bit.
Yeah, how many what?
Who's did he get? Who's got a brace?
Jimmy Bollard,
Grant Leadbitter, or Lee Martin. Who's got a brace against Cardiff in a 3-0 win at Portland Road in 2012?
I'll go Grant Leadbitter. I've got no idea.
I'll say Lee Martin.
It's Lee Martin.
Yes, come on.
2-1. No, 2-2.
2-2.
Yeah.
Zero.
Oh, dear.
She's got zero. Big fat zero.
There you go.
Zero.
Numbers game.
Hmm.
Oh, God. I had this right in my head. Velice Sumulukoski. Sumulukoski.
Why do you do this to yourself?
I had it right earlier. I practiced it in the mirror.
Velice Sumulukoski.
Velice Sumulukoski.
There you go.
Nailed it.
The Macedonian Stephen Gerrard.
Yeah.
Mm. And it is about Macedonia as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, he scored his own town goal in Town's 2-1 win against Blackpool in February 2008.
But what country is he from?
No, but how many caps did he win for Macedonia?
Ah.
Okay.
Of course, once again, how this works, closest to the number gets the point.
How many caps did he get for Macedonia, those noted football giants?
Yeah. Made his debut in 2000 and he played his last game in 2013. Nice little clue there. So a good
13-year career.
55. Yeah.
Okay. Scored 2 goals for his country.
I was going to go a bit higher than that, 62.
Okay.
13 years. I reckon he made 74 appearances for Macedonia.
It's 84.
Yes.
Get in there.
He takes the lead. Is that it?
No, it's one more.
Ugh.
There's a tiebreaker if you need one. This week is another reminder of Alex Matty's hat-trick in the Destruction Derby
yes.
in 1998.
Yes.
How many goals did he score during his time at Town? He made 133 appearances for the club.
How many goals did Alex Matthew score? 133 games.
What's that hat trick?
I think he scored.
I was 1 year old that game.
Yeah. 38 goals.
Okay.
I'll go higher than that. I'll go 48.
Okay.
I had 45 in my head, so I'll say 45.
It's 47.
Oh.
So
Hutchie gets the point.
But
you win.
You won.
But I win.
So.
It's alright. Don't really get excited about these things.
There we go. That's it.
Come on, yes!
I apologise.
That's another
strike.
Death
the strike producers are going to sort him out.
I'd like to take the opportunity to apologise to absolutely no one. I've won.
Hi guys, Barry Cotter here. That was another edition of The Strike with producer Ross. Tune in next week for another edition of The Great Quiz Show.
What should I get Sergio for his birthday? What do you think he likes?
A bollard.
Yeah.
Have a good day, Sergio.
Yeah, top man. I've got a minute left on my car parking, boys.
Good.
How on the ball are they around here?
You'll be alright. Biscuit.
Biscuit for a biscuit.
Chocolate biscuit.
Parking fine.
Okay. If I do get a fine, you're going to pay it because you just told me to do it. Ross, this is a big part of the show for you. You've just done the strike. Now we're going to talk about the ladies.
Oh, God.
At Man City. FA Cup fifth round, historic game. The first time they've ever got that far. The first time there's been a fourth tier side that's got that far. Huge game, playing against the mighty, all-conquering FA Cup champions, Premier League champions.
Steph Orton and all.
All-round, brilliant powerhouse that was Manchester City. Now, we expected, obviously, that Town would lose, and they did. They lost 10-0. Mm. But what was it like? What was the whole experience like? First of all, I want to talk about, you travelled down on the, or up rather, on the official Ipswich Town first team coach.
Yes.
Which looked pretty tasty to me.
It was very, very, very nice.
A peek now, behind the curtain, what's he got on there? What are we talking?
So you've got tables that you can charge your phone. Ooh. Basically, put your phone down.
And that's the most impressive thing?
I think so, because
it had a fully functioning kitchen,
a
man.
Kitchen as well, and loads of TVs, reclining chairs.
Ross was slagging off the Wi-Fi when he got in here, when we were both here.
The Wi-Fi was not good.
What, on the bus?
Because, of course, there's 32 people on the bus using it. Also, I think the Wi-Fi is for the TVs as well.
Right.
Pathetic.
Yeah.
Joke.
I struggled. But annoyingly, my phone is very, very old, so it doesn't actually work to charge my phone. You have to have a very modern phone. But,
which, of course, they all do.
Also, it doesn't come with a coach, but we had a big bag of oranges. Basically, one of the players' dad, I think, runs a farm or whatever, and he had 50, or she brought 50 bag of oranges. And
it doesn't come with the coach.
They were very nice. I had four of them.
What? I see what the most impressive thing about the coach is, and you get onto a big bag of oranges. What are you like?
Just once more, bring it up. But yeah, it was just very nice. I think it's nice for the players to be able to troll up.
Cry. I'm actually crying.
And have an orange.
All the players are an orange.
Historic day for Ipswich women. We're discussing oranges and why Ross's phone is too old to use.
Jesus Christ, man. I'm in bits.
But I feel like... The players, like they have got such easy travelling, like it's so comfortable, and you know they get that every week. Every week, our players, they have to travel themselves, or we get a coach that Kieran drives, which is not ideal, really, when the media guy is driving the coach.
No,
but yeah, £3,000.
They didn't make him drive the big coach.
No, they had two drivers. That's another thing.
Official town drivers.
Yeah, people who actually drive the men.
And they rotate, do they? So they
rotate. Yeah, when they stop, boom.
Yeah.
The club don't own the coach, though.
It's Kings Ferry. Yeah.
Important question: what was the shitter like on it?
I didn't have a go at the shitter.
Well, even after all those oranges.
Yeah.
No,
the vitamin C would go straight through you.
I was fine.
So we don't know what the toilet looks like. But I assume it's palatial.
I think it's... I saw a lot of people use it, so it must have been all right. I didn't watch it coming but you know.
Yeah, you saw people use it, and therefore it worked correctly.
A lot of space. Yeah. But then, I don't know, we had a table where we were all full on it, and I was like, we could have maybe used more of the other space, because there was a few actually empty seats, so I feel bad for Katie. She could have actually come on it.
Well, don't say that now.
I know, but...
She should have only thrown up on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Okay. Travel sickness. Reporter of the weekend.
Yeah, felt sorry for her.
The game.
Yeah, so before we finish with the coach, you did do a little video, which I'm hoping at some point we're going to be able to share, which features Kieran Stanley
singing,
is that? Or is it shouting? Yeah. I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is.
But anyway, we'll put that out just so you get a little look behind the scenes of the coach. Now, the game, obviously, 10-0. Not what the girls would have wanted. Obviously, you know, we expected them to lose. But... talk a little bit about the game. Who performed well? What was the mood like afterwards?
I think the scoreline, for a lot of people, if they don't really understand the gulf of leagues, people go, like, I saw a few comments on different websites, and they'll go, you know, bloody hell, that's, you know, that's a thrashing. And of course it is, you've conceded 10 goals, but it's the thing, the gulf is Premier League versus League Two, and you've got an average age of 21, taking on full England internationals. We're expecting to lose. Some players are like really going for it and going, you know, we could maybe win this if we really go for it. You can't just turn up and go have a losing mentality, can you?
No. But I mean, when you say it's Premier League to League Two, it's more than that, isn't it? Because obviously, yeah. Man City are full time. They've got facilities. They've got coaches. Ipswich Town are still. They don't get paid. It's very much part time. So it is more kind of non-league.
Yeah, well, pretty much
low down non-league sort of level in terms of how much time they spend training and stuff.
You've got 16, 17 year olds. As I said, average age of 21, which is just amazing. You had Matty Big, 16-year-old, taking on Steph Horton, England captain.
Yeah.
And that just showed the strength and just that quality. And of course, these players are aspiring to become, you know, be like them.
What an experience for them, though.
One thing I liked about it is, I told this such off air in the green room, that
this room,
this room. One of the players was warming up, and she was like doing signals to me. I was like, What? And she came over and she just went, oh, I just want to let you know that Ellen White and Jill Scott are just warming up next to me. I just thought, I'll let you know. I was like, oh.
Nice.
But go, and it's just, yeah.
But they enjoyed it. I mean, obviously.
They loved the experience.
Despite the scoreline, they still came away.
You know, there was a few tears after the game because they're young. But I think they took everything on board. They're going to watch the game back and go. The thing will be a bit different because they're playing Norwich on Wednesday.
Mm.
And that game's going to be so slow because Man City were like boom, 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 boom. And Lauren Hemp, I haven't seen her play properly before and she's just rapid. It was just boom, boom. Like when you're trying to get to one ball, they've already moved on to the second ball. It shows the golf. But, you know, we've got some good young players. Anna Gray and Sophie Pescott on the wing did all right. But it's just the golf of just the leagues.
I listened to a bit of it on the radio, and they were saying that City had 10 full internationals on one junior international, and they're 11. Mm. Alan Mahn's just taken over. It's his first game, so perhaps if, you know, they might not have gone as strong, but when you're taking charge of your first game, you want to get off to a good start. So the odds were heavily stacked against
him. If we won, he would definitely not got the job. They were gone. You just lost against Ipswich Town, who are fourth tier.
He's interim, isn't he? Is he interim?
Yeah, interim, yeah. He was the assistant to Nick Cushing, who's gone to New York City men's team in America. So, you know, Alan Mann's just come in and maybe...
Alan Mann, yeah.
So he's just, you know, in a way, interim caretaker, but he may want the job full-time.
Yeah.
But yeah, very nice man. He was a very nice man. He
good player as well.
Very good player.
He was very popular here, wasn't he?
Very popular.
Okay. So... well done to all the girls. Obviously, tremendous achievement just getting that far.
Great experience.
And it's something to aim for as well, isn't it? Obviously, Joe Sheehan is an impressive young manager. He's got a lot of big plans for the future.
Yeah.
Town are doing very well in the league.
Well, Paul Ant was there as well.
He was, yeah.
He was there. He was there and before the game on the pitch, you know, saying hello to everybody.
Yeah.
Then he actually went into the dressing room before the game, just, you know, telling his thoughts. And he actually went there in halftime as well and just sort of went... just, you know, go out there and properly take them out. Not once they take them out, but like just put your body on the line, just go for it. You know, what you got to lose.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very...
And
very,
back freedom. To league matters, what are the chances of Town getting promoted this season?
That's the goal this season, I think, for Joe and the team. I think they want to... That's the aim. They've got a big project going on.
Where are they in the table at the moment?
The top.
Okay,
top
so very, very realistic they're going to go up.
So they've got Norwich in the week on Wednesday.
Whereabouts is that?
It's at Norwich as well.
Oh, is that Norwich?
Norwich United, Plantana Park. That's probably completely
Plantation
wrong.
Plantation Park.
That's the word. Yeah. That's the word.
Not Plantana, yeah. Plantar Fasciitis Park.
But hopefully, double promotion this year.
Okay, cool. Well, if you want to go, you're looking for a game on Wednesday. There you go. There's the game to go to. Watch the Town ladies thump the Canaries, because they usually do, don't they, Roscoe?
They do, yeah.
So, yeah, well done to the ladies. Roscoe, should we play the little Archant Jingle?
Play the Archant Jingle, Ross.
Football,
Brexit to Pokeball.
More great podcasts from Archant. Head to
audiobeam.com/channel/Archant. It needed a bit of something.
Big fish, little fish, cardboard box, big fish, little bit.
I've got my brother did this off his own back, Chris. He listened to it and thought it needed a bit of something.
It definitely did. So yeah, this is the something it needed.
So it's given. He's given it a full. A full treatment.
This is sick.
I'm not sure what. Banger. It is a bit of a banger, actually.
Isn't it?
I'm not sure what the Archant overlords, the shadowy Archant figures, are going to make of this.
Reach for the lasers. Amazing.
But I think it makes the Folklore podcast.
Yeah.
Listenable.
Can we just play this for... Let's just keep it going, yeah.
It does go.
It's a minute and a half long. But yeah, so there you go.
That is tremendous.
Keep it going.
Chris. Christopher. Chris.
All of those.
Chris Cross.
Yep. I call him Bruv.
Yeah, Bruv. Christopher Warren. Fantastic work, my friend. That's now going to be one of the highlights of the show. We'll have a little dance session every time it comes on.
But go and listen to the Folklore
awesome.
Podcast.
Yeah, get onto the Folklore.
Oh, wait.
The
true crime football.
Brexit Folklore.
More great podcasts
from Archon. Head to audiobeam.com/channel/Archon.
Wow.
Straight out.
That.
Now go and listen to the
That was a banger,
podcast.
My friends. A banger. I hope you enjoyed that. Obviously, as I usually say, hit subscribe on your various podcast providers, which include Podbean.
Buzzsprout.
They're
Deezer.
My two favourites.
Spotify. Apple Podcasts,
Audioboom.
Google Podcasts. Listen on Audioboom if you want, or through our website.
Absolutely. And also leave us a 5-star review on iTunes because that helps us with visibility in the charts. And also follow us on all our social medias, Kings of Anglia, on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And also please do follow the dedicated Twitter Kings of Anglia page because that's where you're going to get all the slightly more nonsense-related podcast stuff. Boys, anything else to discuss before we go and find out if I've got a fat parking ticket?
No other business.
I haven't got any more business. Ross, is there any way we could use that banging arch and jingle as the outro?
Yes.
Can we? Is there any way we can skip past the first bit and just use the?
Yeah, go from there. Yeah.
Excellent. Thanks for listening. This is a banger. We'll speak to you again on Thursday, where we'll bring you a look at Oxford and everything else that's going on. Have a great first few days of the week and enjoy this.
From Archon, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archon.